Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. How are you today? I hope you are fine. With me, Rivai, and I'll accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we would like to present some programs started with news, commentary, and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. Stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo optimistic of strengthening tourism in Bangka Belitung. Indonesia condemns brutal shootings at Christchurch Mosque. Those are the headlines, now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has expressed hope that the tourism industry in Bangka Belitung province would continue to be empowered to boost the regional economy. The president revealed in Pangkal Pinang on Thursday that apart from Tanjung Kelayang, the government will also build a special economic zone as EZ for development of the tourism sector in the Bangka Belitung Islands province. Regions that have the potential to become tourist destinations include Tanjung Gunung and Sungai Liat. The president believes the development of tourism areas can be driven by investment. The head of state had earlier explained that the regional income PAD of the Tanjung Kelayang tourist destination had increased by 300%. Several investors in the lodging sector are interested in growing businesses in special economic zone in Bangka Belitung, such as Sheraton in Tanjung Kelayang, Sofitel, and the M Gallery. The Indonesian government has condemned the brutal shootings at two mosques during the Friday prayers in the New Zealand city of Christchurch, in which 40 people were killed and 20 others suffered injuries. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi stated that six Indonesian citizens were inside the mosque when the shootings occurred. Three of them survived the shootings, while three others remain unaccounted for. Following the terrorist attacks, all Indonesians living in Christchurch and other cities in New Zealand have been advised to remain cautious and to maintain vigil. According to the Foreign Ministry, of the 331 Indonesians in Christchurch, 134 are students. Marsudi confirmed that the Foreign Ministry's officials had continued to coordinate with their colleagues at the Indonesian Embassy in Wellington to gain confirmation on the real condition of the three uncounted Indonesians in the aftermath of the assaults. Djibouti Prime Minister Abdulkader Kamil Mohamed paid a courtesy call on Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla at the Vice Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Thursday to discuss ways to strengthen bilateral relations between the two countries. Mohamed visited Indonesia to seek the government's support to develop sciences, particularly in utilizing geothermal energy through cooperation with Indonesia. The Djibouti government hopes Indonesia would send its professional workers to help the Eastern African country develop its human resources, particularly in developing geothermal energy. Mohamed hopes to receive support from the Indonesian government to increase capacity building and the capacity of experts in the geothermal industry in Djibouti. The Indonesian government will help Djibouti develop its geothermal industry. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, who accompanied Kalla during the meeting, noted that Indonesia will prepare scholarships for 25 Djibouti citizens to study geothermal industry in Indonesia. Indonesia has asked Djibouti to support its bid for United Nations Human Rights Council UNHRC membership for 2020 to 2022 term. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said Indonesia made the request during a meeting between Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla and Djibouti Prime Minister Abdulkader Kamil Mohamed in Jakarta on Thursday. Indonesia has campaigned for its bid for the UNHRC membership since late February. The country will organize an exhibition in Geneva as part of the campaign in June, 5 months ahead of the elections of UNHRC members during the 74th Annual General Assembly of the UN in November. In its campaign for UNHRC membership, Indonesia has raised the theme Indonesia through Partner for Democracy, Development and Social Justice. To become UNHRC member, Indonesia must compete with 5 Asia-Pacific countries, namely China, Japan, South Korea, Iran, and Marshall Islands. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia's National Narcotics Agency, BNN, has seized 100 kilograms of crystal methamphetamine and ecstasy pills from a suspect that the anti-drug squad personnel arrested in Bengkayang District, West Kalimantan Province on Thursday evening. The crystal meth and ecstasy pills were packed in 106 plastic bags that suspect, only identified by his initials, hand, concealed in 5 separated fish boxes. BNN Eradication Deputy Inspector General Arman Depari in Fomantara in Jakarta on Friday. Han was arrested by the Narcotic Agency investigators in Sungai Duri village of Sungai Raya Subdistrict, Bengkayang District, West Kalimantan Province on Thursday at around 9:30 p.m. local time. The suspect concealed the drug inside his car, he noted, adding that the agency's investigators also apprehended AR while driving a car. The National Narcotics Agency investigators are still probing this case. South Korean Ambassador to Indonesia Kim Chang-bum hopes that the Indonesia-Korea Friendship Association, IKFA, can strengthen relations between the two countries in various fields. Kim stated while attending the declaration of the new management of the IKFA in Jakarta on Thursday. IKFA is expected to strengthen the relations between Indonesia and South Korea that have been established since 45 years ago, and to enhance cooperation between the two countries in various fields, namely cultural, sports, and business fields. Kim further noted that he could facilitate cooperation between the two countries in various fields. He revealed that Indonesia is a true friend of South Korea. He added that the partnership between the two countries had increased to become a special strategic partnership by emphasizing the acceleration for industrialization in Indonesia. The agreement took place during a meeting between President Joko Widodo and President Moon Jae-in in Bogor, West Java in 2017. The Indonesian authorities have claimed that the number of forest fires had reduced some 85% over the past several years. Thanks to the significant reduction, no neighboring countries had lodged a complaint over the past few years as their countries were now free from haze usually exported by wildfires in Indonesia. Despite that achievement, however, some 1 trillion rupiahs had to be spent for fighting wildfires on peatlands in South Sumatra province last year. Chief of the National Disaster Mitigation Board, BNPB, Lieutenant General Doni Monardo said on March 12. In view of the high cost, he felt it was necessary to familiarize the public with the effort to preempt wildfires. He added, it is better to prevent wildfires by familiarizing people nearby on how to tackle fires before they inflict losses worth hundreds of billions of rupiahs. The 1 trillion rupiahs was spent on preventing smoke from reaching South Sumatra, which hosted the Asian Games in 2018. Monardo believed that it would be better to distribute the funds to local people rather than spend it on fighting wildfires. Well, listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to meet you again in our regular program commentary. Well, today's topic is political crisis in Algeria. On Wednesday, March 13, 2019, the Algerian people held a mass rally in several cities in Algeria. They rejected the package of political solutions put forward by the ruling president, Abdelaziz Bouteflika, on Monday. What exactly was put forward by the president, so the Algerian people refused. President Abdelaziz decided to postpone the implementation of the general election. They rallied against the decision by stating violation of the Constitution on Article number 107 and 110. Their demands are that the general elections be held on April 18, 2019, as stated before, and the incumbent president cannot participate in the general election. He already accommodated the wishes of the protesters not to run again, but this is not enough because they consider the postponement of the general election only to extend his term of office. This crisis is triggered by President Bouteflika's desire to take part in the upcoming general election. However, many wishes are not expected by many people because President Bouteflika has been in power for 20 years and his health condition is less stable after suffering a stroke 6 years ago. Although he finally chooses not to take part in the election again and even overhaul the composition of the cabinet, President Bouteflika does not clearly specify how long the election will be postponed. So there is concern if he then appoints a certain successor to replace him. Another concern is that delaying the general election can threaten democracy in Algeria. Algeria experienced a political crisis in the 80s, which led to armed conflict in the 90s and ended in 2002. Of course, no one expects a similar conflict in Algeria. Now the important role in the hands of the elite in the country is to find the best solution so that the political crisis can be resolved immediately without bloodshed and the Algerian people can accept the solution. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Hello, listener. Nice to meet you again in our Today in History that begins with the information for March 15, 1906 about the establishment of the Rolls-Royce, an automobile producer. Rolls-Royce Limited is a renowned automobile producer from United Kingdom, UK, which also produces aircraft engines. Rolls-Royce was established by Charles Stewart Rolls and Sir Frederick Henry Royce on March 15, 1906 to develop their corporation, which had been established since 1904. In 1971, Rolls-Royce underwent a financial crisis due to the excessive budget of the RB211 development, so the government had to take control of the company to be nationalized and it became Rolls-Royce Limited. The next information is about World Consumer Rights Day. World Consumer Rights Day is commemorated annually every 15 March. The commemoration aims to raise people's awareness about the rights and responsibilities of consumers. The World Consumer Rights Day commemoration was inspired by former U.S. President J.F. Kennedy, who sent a special message to the U.S. Congress on March 15, 1962 about the rights of consumers. J.F. Kennedy was the first leader to highlight the issue of consumer rights. Consumer movements started commemorating the event in 1983, and it was known as World Consumer Rights Day. Currently, many organizations engaging in the consumer rights across the globe, including Indonesia, commemorate the event annually. The last information is about the establishment of Nyepi Day as national holiday on March 15, 1983. Bali's Day of Silence, or known as Nyepi, was simultaneously commemorated for the first time in 1973. Before, Nyepi was commemorated individually in each village, as each village had its own customs in commemorating the occasion. 10 days later, on March 15, 1983, the Indonesian government established Nyepi as a national holiday based on Presidential Decree No. 3, 1983. Through the decree, Waisak Day, or the Holiday of Buddha People, was also set as a national holiday. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
saat bersamamu. Begitu lalapnya aku pun terbuai. Sebenarnya aku telah berharap ku kan memiliki dirimu selamanya. Sekenap hatiku luluh lantak mengiringi dukaku dan kehilangan dirimu. Mampu untuk meredam kepedihan hatiku untuk merelakan kepergianmu. Kini cinta takkan berakhir, namun takdir menuliskan kita harus berakhir. Segenap hatiku luluh lantak mengiringi dukaku yang kehilangan dirimu. Sungguh ku tak mampu untuk meredam kepedihan hatiku untuk merelakan kepergianmu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, that was Sang, and you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 33.25 kHz and website www.boinews.id. In Indonesia Today's edition, I'd like to give you information about Indonesia, and of course, in my Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back. This is My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia for today's IFX 2019 is officially held. Indonesia International Furniture Expo, or IFEX 2019, was officially opened last Monday at G-Expo Kemayoran, Jakarta. Around 149 countries participated in the expo held from 11 to 14 of March 2019. Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto remarked that furniture as an upstream industry has high additional value and significant contribution for the national economy. Some of the contributions include boosting the gross domestic product's GDP, providing job opportunities, and increasing the country's foreign reserves. In 2018, the contribution of the industry reached 1.36% of the total GDP of non-oil and gas industry. Moreover, in 2018, the export trend of furniture industry grew 4%, namely $1.69 billion, compared in 2017. The number of business people of this sector also increased in 2017. Statistics Central Agency recorded that in 2017, there were 1,918 medium enterprises which operate and absorb more than 200,000 employees. On the same occasion, Chairman of the Indonesian Furniture and Handicrafts Industry Association, Sunoto, said that the expo aims to boost the performance of Indonesian furniture and handicrafts export. He pointed out that establishing cooperation with other countries is required to advance Indonesian furniture industry. For example, Indonesia cooperates with China, which is currently the main exporters of road furniture, with the export value amounting to billions of dollars. Meanwhile, the export value of Indonesian furniture sector currently only reaches $2.5 billion. Sunoto hoped that the expo could improve the export value of Indonesian furniture up to $800 million. Meanwhile, President Joko Widodo, when visiting the biggest furniture expo in Southeast Asia on Wednesday, appreciated the improvement and the innovation of Indonesian furniture products design made by local artists in Indonesia for export market. He hoped that Indonesian furniture, wooden, rattan, and bamboo would grow double digit. In 2014, the growth could only reach 4%. President Joko Widodo viewed that Indonesian furniture products still have good prospects to develop further. Furthermore, he perceived that Indonesian furniture products must be able to compete with the typical products from other countries. President Joko Widodo also stated his plan to simplify regulations, particularly the ones which are related to the industry. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Apa yang harus aku lakukan untuk membuat kau mencintaiku? Segala upaya telah kulakukan untukmu. Apa yang harus aku untuk membuat kau menyayangiku? Inilah aku yang memilih kau untukku. Karena aku mencintaimu, dan hatiku hanya untukmu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, boy listener, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz, at website www.voinews.id. Well, listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
This is RI, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Listener, meet me again in Indonesian Wonder with me, Ahmad Faisal. For today's edition, I introduce you Bidu Dance. Listeners, Border Music Concert of Malacca, Kefa Menanu, will be held on 28 up to 29 March 2019 at Misi Paroki Betun, Malacca, East Nusa Tenggara. In addition to various festivities, this event becomes a preservation media for art, culture, and tradition. The Malacca Kefa Menanu music concert will be more interesting in the presence of three mass unique dances of Tanah Timur. They are Tebe, Likurai, and Bidu dances to be performed colossally. One of the three dances to be performed at the Malacca Kefa Menanu border music concert is Bidu dance as the topic of the Indonesian Wonder. Listeners, in the past time, Bidu dance was used by the people of East Nusa Tenggara as a medium for young men and women who were ready to get married and to get to know each other and to choose the partner they wanted. Generally, Bidu dance is performed by 8 female dancers and 2 male dancers. In Bidu dance performances, the dancers usually wear completely traditional clothes with beautiful accessories. Bidu dance is usually accompanied with guitar, violin, and sasando. The rhythm of the music played is a fast tempo rhythm. Besides musical accompaniment, Bidu dance performance is also accompanied with traditional typical songs of East Nusa Tenggara. Listeners, Bidu dance performance begins when male dancers are to line up and dance while entering the arena. Then a number of female dancers present battle and areka, not to audiences who are considered as honorable people. Afterwards, they return to dance. In Bidu dance, male and female dancers' movements are different. The movement of female dancers is usually dominated by gentle hand movements and foot movement walking in a place, whereas male dancers usually dance with distinctive movements. If a male dancer has found his ideal woman, a male dancer dances around his ideal girl. At the next stage, the male dancer dances while waving his handkerchief on the girl's face and tries to put the handkerchief on her shoulder. If the female dancer agrees, the handkerchief will be received well. Then, at the end of the event, each pair will eat rice on one plate. Listeners, that's Indonesian Wonder for today's edition with topic Bidu Dance. We will meet again in another interesting topic. See you later.
Voice of Indonesia.
Yang tak bisa lepas.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you very much, Voice listener. We have listened a wonderful song, and you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. A listener would like to give you another information about interesting tourism that happened in Indonesia.
Hello listeners of Voice of Indonesia. It is nice to meet you again in Miscellany. Today, I will discuss about succeeding in the 2018 Asian Games. Indonesia wins OCA award. So stay with us on www.voinews.id. The success of the 2018 Jakarta Palembang Asian Games makes Indonesia be proud. The Olympic Council of Asia, OCA, also feels the positive impact. The success of the 2018 Asian Games confirms the prestige of the Asian Games itself as the second largest sporting event in the world after the Olympics. This was stated by President of OCA, Sheikh Ahmad Al Falah Al Sabah, when handing over the OCA award to Indonesia at the 72nd OCA Executive Board meeting in Bangkok, Thailand on March 2, 2019. The OCA award for Indonesia was accepted by General Chairman of the Indonesian Olympic Committee, Erick Thohir. According to Eric, this award is for Indonesia to have successfully held the best Asian Games and receive appreciation from all over the world. The success of the 2018 Asian Games is not only about the smooth implementation of holding 40 sports, which is the most in the history of the Asian Games so far. More importantly, the success is also due to extraordinary publications. With the presence of 864 news agencies or media from 44 Asian countries and 12 countries outside Asia. 40.5 billion readers enjoy news about the 2018 Asian Games. They receive information from around 16,000 articles published during the 2018 Asian Games. Erick Thohir explained, thanks to the massive publication, the Asian Games received prize overseas. They were amazed because Indonesia was able to hold the sport events in a short preparation time. Thus, he is confident and optimistic that Indonesia deserves being the host of the upcoming 2032 Olympics. That was Miscellany for today with the topic succeeding in the 2018 Asian Games, Indonesia wins OCA award. We will meet again with other interesting topics. See you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dalam hati. rasa berarti. Sanggupkah dirimu untuk bertahan hingga waktu tak berjalan? Mencintaiku walau bintangku tak terang. Cintailahku sepenuh hati sesungguhnya. Aku tak ingin kau pergi, takkan mampu ku hadapi dunia ini. Kau tinggalkan ku, tetaplah di sini, saling memiliki selama-lamanya. Cintailahku sepenuh hati sesungguhnya. Saat ku jatuh nanti, menangis sepi.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
That was a wonderful song. And you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, next segment, I'd like to give you information about the music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
The song with the title Paris Barantai is from South Kalimantan, and it tells about homesickness toward someone who is loved and has been long not meeting. The song also tells about deep affection and unwillingness to be separated. This is viewed from its lyrics, which tells Kota Baru, precisely at Paris Barantai, a place where the couple met and fell in love. In 1960s, Paris Barantai was recorded in vinyl record by Rindang Banua Malayan Orchestra and released by Lokananta Solo. The song was popular and often played by Radio Republik Indonesia. The composer of the songs is Anang Ardiansyah, who was inspired by Gandut dance performance, a Banjar traditional dance. Besides, as a musician, Anang was also a member of Indonesian military with colonel rank. Until now, Paris Barantai song has been adapted and rearranged into various kinds of genres. Listeners, here is Paris Barantai in salsa jazz genre.
Listener, we end our Together Death in English Language program broadcasting. thank you very much for your attention. We'll give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voanews.id. And listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, or our Instagram account, voice_of_Indonesia. And you can visit our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia or to our email voi@voinews.id.